Beers with Chad.
Hey everybody, Chad Wesley Smith here, Beers with Chad. Today I am joined by Team Juggernaut lifter, the Super Total King himself, James Townsend. I talk with James about his NFL career from, you know, a youth player through a high school star, college transferring, a practice squad player for the Bears, kind of the ups and downs of his career. I learned some stuff about James that I'd never known before in the, you know, 6 or 7 years that I've known him. So always a great time talking with James, as well as talking about some youth athletic training, because if you haven't seen his daughters, Princess P and Freya on Instagram, they're incredible to watch, you know, lifting, their passion for fitness. So we talk about some of his ideas in regards to youth training and how he sort of manages the expectations for his exceptional daughter. So I'm drinking my favorite beer, Alpine Duet. That really is my favorite. And if you are interested in all that Juggernaut has to offer, online coaching, books, apparel, you can visit jtsstrength.com. Make sure to drop a 5-star review here for the podcast, subscribe, and enjoy the episode. Cheers, brother. Good to have you. Good to have you out here.
Thank you.
So I was sending my boy Dustin, the 49ers strength coach. Mm-hmm. I sent him the video of you doing clean and jerks, and I was like, I know you guys had another wide receiver get hurt yesterday. So I'm just saying, if you get a call, you would be my second guy on the 49ers this week. But the you think you could still line it up a little bit?
Probably, if my hamstrings hold up. Yeah. Yeah, but it's never easy just running back into football like that. Like the cuts and sprints, like you literally have to retrain. I think for me, it would probably take me a good 2-3 weeks to get my legs back in the
whole two or 3 weeks, and then you're ready to go.
Ready to go.
How would you say physically you compare now to when you were playing football?
Way stronger, way explosive, way more explosive, much smarter. I'm moving better, you know, because when you get with certain college coaches, and I even still see it now that, like, you see videos of guys lifting and the technique is just not there. Mm. You know, if the technique was more explained to the guys, and then you would see more beasts coming out of weight rooms from football players.
So as you look back at your career, let's kind of, you know, high school, mm-hmm. you're playing in New Jersey.
South Jersey. Yeah.
Right. So, mm-hmm. I mean, how, like, renowned were you as a high school player?
All-American.
Yeah.
All-American after my sophomore year. My best friend, Wally Lundy, he was an All-American running back. He played at University of Virginia.
Yeah, I remember there. The name, yeah.
Brian Bennett, he was our linebacker. He played at Pittsburgh. He was All-American in high school, and then it was me, the wide receiver. So we were like the three-headed monsters, you know? And so by me also running track too, it was just, you know, I was All-American in the 100 and 200.
10:32 in the 100, right?
Yeah.
That's the time.
10:29.
Yeah.
Right. And then 20.9.
I've been shorting you three tenths when I,
yeah.
or 300ths when I brag about you to people. So, yeah. So then you go from there to University of Iowa.
University of Iowa, yeah.
And what was describe your Iowa career?
Man, if I truly believe if I'd had a better direction, somebody, if I would have had a more male prominent figure in my life that helped me control what better school to go to that works better for me and my skill set as a wide receiver, mm-hmm. it would have panned out better. Like going to Iowa, Iowa is great overall as a school. My teammates there, you know, Bob Sanders, Robert Gallery, you know, Greenway, Calvin Davis and all them, but it's not a fit for a person of my skill set. And as you can see with the climate now with Iowa,
yeah,
you can see.
Well, I guess it is kind of a surprising decision for a kid from Brooklyn who's playing ball in
Bronx.
Bronx and playing ball in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Iowa is kind of, I mean, yeah, it's like a prominent football school, but it's right. a big, you know, that's a big departure from where you right. grew
well,
up.
Well, in that time, what, 02, 03 was like, you know, running back schools, mm-hmm. you know, like Iowa would have been a running back school. There was no way I should have, as a wide receiver, should have committed to go to Iowa. I should have went to Miami or Texas Tech or something, you know, but like I said, if I'd had a male figure, a dominant male figure in my life, that person would have kept me on straight. I wouldn't have made my decision to go to Iowa because it was a party school and girls and, mm-hmm. you know, that was my decision on going to Iowa. But
like those farm girls?
Partying and, you know. You know, and I mean, you know, it all worked out because I met my wife there. But, you know, as a football player, you know, wide receiver, fast, you know, coming in, running a 4.35, you know, that's not a good decision. So, I mean, my career there, you know, I started as a true freshman, but I was more so of a blocker, or like the scheme and the offense just wasn't for my skill set. Like me being a fast guy, you would think, all right, this guy is fast. He's the fastest guy on our team. Let's put him at X. Let's go deep with him. Probably only went deep to me what, 2 or 3 times.
And in that time in college football schemes, they weren't doing a lot of the stuff that they do now,
you know,
jet sweep right. and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So, but Texas Tech was, because Crabtree mm-hmm. was coming up during my years, and
I would have thought,
Fitzgerald at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would have thought, you know, West Virginia would have been the spot.
I took a visit there too. Yeah. I took a visit there too.
It would have been about you know, playing NCAA the video game. This would have been a little bit later because you graduated high school what year? 2003.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a year ahead of me. But you get into those like 05, 06, 07 West Virginia, Steve Slayton, Pat White, Owen Schmidt,
and then
Noel Devine coming behind them, then Tavon Austin and those guys. That would have been a fun one.
Yeah.
So then you transfer from Iowa
to Rutgers.
To Rutgers. Yep. And what was the reasoning for that?
I had got suspended from Iowa for letting somebody write my paper. School found out they wanted me.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I didn't get suspended for it, but I did it.
If
Irvine, if anyone, administrators from Irvine Valley College are listening to this, I turned in.
You know, and the thing about it is that, like, you know, it was in a rhetoric class. 90% of us were football players, mm-hmm. and the teacher, I think, well, I know she had she's biased against us. And she thought me and my teammate had cheated off each other, but we couldn't have, because a girl wrote his paper and a girl wrote my paper, and they wanted me to confess.
Yeah. Like, we cheated, but not the way that you think.
Right, yeah. They wanted me to confess to it, and I wasn't going to give them up, and, you know, they wanted me to confess about it, and I had a meeting with, you know, the whole board and everything, and they were like, you either apologize and say that you did it, or we suspend you for 1 year. And I was like, all right, just suspend me. Like, I'm not going to, you know, give up. You know, anybody, and they didn't know I cheated or whatever, or had a girl that write my paper, mm-hmm. but they just wanted me to, like, you know.
Was it Amy? Did Amy write
you? No, it was a different girl that I was seeing at the time. But, so, you know, I decided to, they wanted me to confess to cheating, and they wanted me to apologize to the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, apologize for what? Because I didn't cheat.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going, you know, even though,
yeah,
you know, girl, but I wasn't going to give her up.
Yeah.
Or anything. And so.
So then you're back in Jersey at Rutgers, mm-hmm. and a pretty formidable Rutgers team, probably one of the best teams Rutgers ever had.
Yeah.
Ray Rice, Brian Teal.
Yep. Brian Leonard.
And, Brian Leonard. So this is with Greg Schiano as your coach,
Kenny
right?
Britt. Yeah. Schiano. Yeah.
And, so you're playing wide receiver at Rutgers, mm-hmm. and in this best season for Rutgers, mm-hmm. playing the West Virginia team that I was referring to, mm-hmm. take me back to this game. Yeah.
So that game, that was it was my first year playing, because transferring, I had to sit out.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming into my junior redshirt year, I'm playing, you know, starting the slot guy. And you know, I'm playing good. I'm getting the ball and everything. They are making plays for me and stuff. Even though we have Ray, you know, we're starting off good. We're going in 8-1. Well, we had a big game that year. You know, Pandemonium Piscataway. If anybody look it up on YouTube, where what's his name? Brian Brom from Louisville. Yeah, they were number 2, and we were 11 or 15 at that time, and we beat them. And
talk about a year for the Big East football.
That was huge. That was like
the best year of Big East football ever.
Right. And then after beating them, we ended up becoming number 3 in the nation. And then the next week we lose to Cincinnati. And then we play Pittsburgh. No, Syracuse. We beat them. And then the West Virginia game, last game of the season. So if we would have won this game, we would have won the Big East title.
Go to the Orange Bowl with that?
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, playing the game, you know, I had a catch. I had a good drive. And it was this play called Topper to where, you know, it's doubles to the right side. I'm at the Z. I'm on the outside. Tight end has a post. Slot guy has a post. And then I have the deep post. Now, I can remember just not running the route my best. And as soon as I break to get out, and I'm open, wide open, and Till threw a perfect pass, and it came to me late, and I go like this. And the ball slips out right in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And Topper was one of my favorite plays that we always ran, and I never missed it. But that one game, missed it. And I could just remember sitting down and like, oh, my goodness. And then walking back, and I could just see, like, players, like, you know, not wanting to look at me, coaches, upset, and everything. And that. And then that right there defined defined who I am today and defined the rest of my career because of the reaction from others.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, tell me more about that. How do you feel like it defined the rest of your career? So I'm very interested to hear, you know, kind of what going forward, playing, mm-hmm. being on the practice squad with the Bears, like, mm-hmm. you know, athletically, we could line you up today at 36 years old.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Against any current NFL player,
right.
You are as or more physically gifted than they are, but you're sitting here talking to me after we lifted some weights in the garage rather than at NFL training camp.
Right.
So, yeah, how did that impact your football career?
That's the thing. It goes back to if I'd have had a male figure in my life, he would have kept me straight or I wouldn't have been so much invested in my talent. I always felt like my talent was a gift and a curse because I never had anybody actually show me how to respect my talent. You know, never had anybody tell me, hey, even though you have the talent, you still have to work hard. Coming up through, you know, grade school, playing little league, you know, I always was the fastest, always was the most athletic kid. Always scored all the touchdowns, always got the praises, you know. Even with the praises, like, I got so much of the praises to where I never had anybody say, hey, you need to, you know, relax, chill out. Like, just, you still have to work hard. You still have to be humble. Get to high school, praises just intensify more, right? Never felt like I have to work hard. And that was the thing. Me not having to work hard played over into going into college. You know, just being with girls, just partying. Oh, you know, I can run routes in my sleep. I'm the fastest. I'm this, I'm that. Like, so the hard work never was cemented for me while I was in college.
Mm.
And so by me not working hard, by me taking advantage of my gift, I feel as if God allowed that to happen. So if I would have worked hard, I would have ran that route hard. I would have planned it. The ball would have been there, and I would have caught it, you know. But by me not having, you know, the work ethic of working hard, you know, it laid out to where, you know, coaches would blackball me, or you know, my next year, my last year at Rutgers, teammates didn't trust me. I started to doubt who I was as a football player. But then it came. But then later on in life, till today, it led me to appreciate hard work even more.
So, just from the football standpoint, do you think the next year, as you go into the draft process, and you know, we were talking yesterday about your pro day, you were 2 weeks or 2 months rather of a microfracture knee surgery, and still that was 4.39 40, 41.5 inch. Vertical, 21 reps of 225, you know.
See, 11.5 the thing jump. About it, I never had a problem with performing. It was just that the hard work wasn't there.
So do you think that play, that drop, was something that
woke me up?
Do you think it's something that NFL scouts were like, oh, you know, we don't know about this guy, and that they
could have played out. I know for a fact that, like, you know, it didn't sit well with Shiano. You know, there's a lot of things like I could go into about how he treated me afterwards, and you know, this is why that, like, you know, now when I'm coaching my athletes now, I tell them, hey, I would never get upset at you. I would never raise my voice at you. Like, if you don't give me your effort, I would just say, hey, you know, all right, we're done for the day. Go home. We'll rebound it tomorrow. I'm like that because of the treatment that I had got from, you know, my previous coaches. Like, being a 19, 20, 21-year-old kid, you know, from the projects, no kid should get that treatment, you know, because you never know how a kid could handle it mentally. You know, and even after that drop, and then even after not being the player who I thought or dreamed that I can be, that everybody wanted me to be, because ultimately I was playing football for everybody else, you know. And my senior year, like, you know, just how it was and how I ended it with the knee surgery and everything, and then drops, and then not feeling the praise, getting the praise from people anymore, it ultimately led me to trying to commit suicide. You know, because of the pressure, you know, and that was like 3 weeks before the pro day, getting ready for the pro day. So it was just so much, man. It was just, I was living in my own world that I thought I was too good to even go to practice for track, too good to even work as hard as the next guy, you know.
The suicide attempt, though, was not something I was aware of, that had been a part of your life. So do you feel like that was just a thing of, you felt like you were letting people, letting people down?
Big time.
Yeah.
And then when I would try to work hard, like, to get ready for the pro day and do it at the pro day, I just felt like that I couldn't. It was just gone. It just wasn't there, you know.
Wasn't there from a desire to work for it standpoint, because from a performance standpoint, I can objectively tell you it was still there. If 41.5 inch vertical is not there, I think a lot of people would take that that not there. So you feel like once you got in that NFL and you were practice squad with the Bears, that it was just not something you were passionate about.
Yeah, it was just felt like that like I went. Here I go. I have to work hard again, like really have to work hard, going from a practice squad on to, you know, a contract, and which they ultimately wanted to give me, but I walked away from it because I just, at that level, and you would know, you know, completing at a high level, this football has to be your number one. Jiu-jitsu have to be your number one. Powerlifting, whatever you're doing, that has to be, if you're looking to be the best, be one of the best, be one of the 53 guys on the roster, like, that has to be your number one. And it just wasn't, you know, it just wasn't. And, you know, I look back on it a lot, and it was like, you know, sometimes I'd be like, man, I could have been this player, but just certain avenues and how I grew up and how I approached it just wasn't the right way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that's kind of almost surprising, I guess, for me to hear, because we've known each other for probably...
Seven? Eight? Eight, 7 years?
Yeah, I mean, more so for probably 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, we met probably seven or 8 years ago. Yeah. And when we met and you were doing the powerlifting meet, mm-hmm. powerlifting, you know, in quotes, meet at the CrossFit gym, and I was judging, and I was like, oh, this is not what I expected. I didn't expect you to be there. you know, the James Townsend that I've known for the last 4 or 5 years seems like he's so much the hard worker, so much the opposite of a lot of what you're describing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we're looking at it from just like a athletic football standpoint, I kind of want to transition to the training you do with your daughters and with other kids. If there was a physical or a technical part of football that you struggled at the most, what would you say it would have been?
Mental
part of it, but like, so you don't think like route running, anything like that? No. Because so commonly, you know, if you follow the draft and recruiting and all this stuff, you see the guys who are the really fast track guys.
Yep.
And they say, oh, he's just got the track speed, his straight line speed.
I had both.
Yeah, both the trans both direction
in and out.
And the,
yeah, in and out of my brakes, everything.
Well, you're ruining my analogy. Because what I had always assumed, kind of, was, you know, not knowing a lot about your football career, just mm-hmm. besides like the places you went and how fast and strong and stuff you are, I always sort of figured, I was like, oh, you know, maybe James was that kind of guy. He was run these great 40 times, but like maybe he couldn't run great routes or didn't have a good change of direction. So let's pretend that was the case, just for the sake of discussion.
Right.
Because you know, I'm sure you know guys like that, or you've seen guys like that.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. as I thought about it, I always figured, I was like, guys like you or guys like, you know, Xavier Carter,
yeah,
LSU.
Yeah, he was third fastest in the nation. I was sixth.
Yeah. So, yeah, he and I were same year for school. So I had to see him, Arcadia, track meets, all that stuff.
Okay.
Or guys like Trindon Holiday, mm-hmm. or...
Mm-hmm. He's from Florida, right? Xavier Carter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was him... Remember the other guy from Florida that actually made the Dix, Walter Dix?
Walter Dix, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, whether it's those football track combo guys, Xavier Carter, Trindon Holiday, Jeffrey Demps, mm-hmm. you know, these blazing fast dudes, but they, even like a guy like John Ross, you know, who's maybe he's been hurt but not having a great career thus far, I think they're so fast, but they can't change direction. So I always wonder about guys like that, because how you describe it, you were always the fastest. So when you're playing Pop Warner football or youth football or whatever, they're probably just like, all right, let's just give James a toss. You know, let's toss it to James. He's gonna turn the corner. He's running up the sideline.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you get to high school, and like, all right, just, you know, James, just run a streak, and he's run past everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you get to college, and same thing. But you know, as the level gets higher and higher, like, it gets harder to run past the dudes. And I wonder sometimes with those guys who are always the fastest guy, if because they could always just, you know, get the corner and run up the sideline,
right,
that they don't have the moves because they never had to like develop them, you know, when they were a kid. You think that that's kind of an accurate assessment? Maybe not for you particularly, but
for most fat guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most fat guys, they could beat you off the line and then get right over top of you and then boom for a streak route. But can they beat you off the line, get 10 yards, run a Houston route? Either, you know, you have a linebacker on your inside, your right side, you would turn in. Or if you have a linebacker on your left side, you'll hook out. You know, can they get out of that break that quick? Most fast guys can't, because they can't break down fast. You know what I mean? It's like they can't hit that 1, 2, 3, boom, out.
So what I always wonder about it is, I don't think that there's something that's physically mutually exclusive about being the fastest in a straight line and being able to change direction. They're not like being super fast and having great endurance where they can't exist together.
Right.
You know,
right.
I wonder if it's more of like a, you know, a nature versus nurture kind of thing. If they don't nurture those qualities because they don't need to. So it's a guy who's, you know.
I mean, with football, it's always led to believe that, like, hey, if this guy can run a 4.2, we don't need him to run good routes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, but he's a wide receiver. He needs to run good routes.
Yeah. I think it would take a special, as you were saying, you know, that strong figure in your life, even just from an athletic sense, mm-hmm. whether that's a dad, a big brother, or a coach, mm-hmm. to be like, hey, I know that you can run past everyone, but we're not just going to do that because there's going to be a time where you can't just run past everyone.
Right.
So let's learn how to do all the small stuff. Like my boy River, who just signed with the 49ers on Wednesday, shout out to Riv. he played at Washington State, so under Mike Leach, Texas Tech guy. He's a white wide receiver from Orange County. He's like Wes Welker, Edelman, kind of those are his guys. Mm-hmm. Probably run 4.6. 4.65, runs great routes, mm-hmm. makes the right read all the time. And Marissa and I were commenting to each other. We're like, can you believe that, like, Rivers was better at football than James is? Or than James was? You know? And we're like, that's kind of crazy. Because if we stood you guys next to each other, no one would think that. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, I've always just thought about that people don't develop those skills because they don't get like kind of forced into it by a coach, that someone isn't telling them like, hey, I know that you could just do this. You think that you could just do this, but like, if you really want to be great, you got to do all this other stuff.
Right.
So I think it's guys like, you know, Jerry Rice, who's just like a 4.6 40 guy, nothing amazing physically, but because he has to exhaust all other options to success, mm-hmm. he gets so good at those other things.
Right.
Or even like a basketball player, like, you know, Steph Curry, no one was like, oh, look how fast this guy is. Look how high he can jump, how big and strong he is. Like, it's like, I got to get great handle, great shooting, like the stuff that you could control a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of kids who have always been the fastest and strongest, your daughters, mm-hmm. I'm always bragging. I brag about them to all my friends.
Yeah.
My friends got kids. I'm like, sorry, your kids will never impress me. You see these kids? They've ruined me for every other kid. Princess P, Freya, they're amazing. I think the most impressive thing maybe is just how well Freya follows directions.
Yeah.
But I'm always showing my friends with kids the videos of Perseus jumping on boxes when she's 1 year old and not even 1 year old. what was that like? Like, how did that start?
It was just, by us being in sports, it's like when you see a child do something, you're like, I wonder if they could do this, because at 3 months she was crawling, mm-hmm. 7 months she was walking.
What's a typical timeline on that?
For crawling?
Yeah.
Maybe, six, seven?
Uh-huh.
6-7 months? And she was just ahead of the game, just so far ahead. And even when she was walking at 7, she was walking crooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had took her to her pediatrician because we were worried that, like, something was wrong with her right foot. Pediatrician's like, no, she just shouldn't be walking right now. You know, her body is still growing. You know, she needs to get stronger. But
so when he told you that, I was like, all right, let's just strap a sled on her.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because she was...
She started crawling with a sled.
She was walking, with a limp. And then when she would have her little toy thing pushing, she would, go with a limp. And not just that, but like her climbing at 7 months, climbing onto things, climbing on top of the bed. It was just amazing. So, and then she was always in the gym with me,
mm-hmm.
Clearly she was watching, because one day when she was 10 months, done working out, I take her out of her stroller, play around. She goes right to a 2.5-pound dumbbell and started doing dumbbell snatches.
Because mm-hmm. that was probably the workout that day. She's like, I've been watching people do this all day.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. That right there, that's when I was like, all right, let me see if you can do this. I brought out a 10-pound plate. She jumps on it. All right. 15, jumps on it. 45. jumps on it. And so studies say that kids shouldn't be able to jump off of 2 feet until they're 2 years old. Mm-hmm. It's a 10-month-old doing it. I'm like, okay. Hang from the bar. She's hanging by herself. Go on the ring. She's hanging. And then she's doing the hollow open, swinging. Uh-huh. You know, and as she's getting older, 1 year old, the boxes, the plates started getting higher. Going to the ring. She's doing pull-ups.
How old was she when she could do it, when she could pull herself up?
1.5. Yeah.
Well, I'm like 34. I'm still bad at that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's just the stuff from her just seeing, and then me just, you know, getting her, remember Wad toys? Remember when they were out?
Okay.
You know, she had stuff like that. She would have like a barbell, and she would pick it up, put her hands down, she would squat down, chest up. You know, she'd bring it to her back, and then she would do, you know, perfect squats. And like all this stuff, I would like document, like, you know, like.
And this is just from her watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fun. And then she came to 2 years old. And I remember you sharing, this is where I just opened up my gym in Moore Park. I remember you sharing her jumping on a 4-pound plate at 2. Mm. And, you know, and that one always shows up. And then by her jumping onto the plate and how she's jumping it and her control, her balance, yeah. Stability is like.
Yeah, especially like when she would run up and do, and then like.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 foot, like a jump stop and into a jump.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, so all of it is remarkable.
Yeah.
But it's pretty amazing to see. So I love watching the videos and stuff. And sometimes I think, I was like, how, because you guys got to have people coming up to you all the time, whether mm-hmm. it's at, you know, gymnastics mm-hmm. there or comments on the internet. I'm sure there's negative stuff, but people who are just like, oh, she's going to be this, you know. Yeah. Great thing, and it's like, oh, she's a little girl. So that little documentary that they did, where it's like she's going and doing the workout, and then she's in her room playing with her dolls. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, even though she could do this stuff that, you know, kids twice her age. I mean, I have 13, 11, and 9-year-old nieces, and P just turned 7. I'm pretty sure she could beat up my 13-year-old niece if they got into it. But so she's doing stuff that's like a kids twice her age. Mm-hmm. How do you manage her own expectations around her, you know, like, because it's like, I figure it's got to be that you're giving her enough push and you're capable of doing this, but not letting her get overwhelmed. I mean, how do you manage that?
I don't want to, you know, fall into that trap of, you know, she's 7 years old. It's a constant reminder that she's 7 years old. Mm-hmm. She's still a kid. She still needs to play. She still needs to be a kid, even though she has the skill set, you know, as a gymnast to be with 13, 14, 15-year-olds. I don't want that pressure on her that, you know, right away. She needs to be with kids, you know, her age or maybe a year or two older, you know, to help her build the confidence. But then again, you know, I'm not a professional gymnastics coach. You know, I'm just her father. I'm her coach, father. You know, but I'm her coach in a way of keeping her emotions and mentality stable. You know, and by me and Amy not falling into that hype as I did, it's I think it works. I know it works out best for her that way, you know, because she has it. It's like she gets so much expectations from us, not for a physical standpoint, but for her at home. Like, all right, you know, you should be cleaning your room. You should do this. Mm-hmm. You should know better. This and that. And then we sit back. I'm like, wait a minute. She's only 7 years old. Like,
yeah.
But we fall into that trap because she's so high skill level physically, mm-hmm. and then her just her mental, for her to engage into a talk, for her to know exactly what to do, for me to show her how to do a bar muscle ups in 3 minutes and then she gets it, that plays over into our parenting, to where it's like, all right, you should be able to know this. But
yeah,
then again, you're 7.
Yeah, Marissa and I were talking about that with Freya. She's so good at following the directions. Yeah. move her feet wide or chest up, you know, when she's doing a squat.
Yeah.
She really gets it. And I'm like, it makes me think like, oh, you know, she must be like perfect at home. I know she's not.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, well, why can't you follow directions at school?
Yep.
You know, yep. Like you do at the gym, and why can't yep. you, yep. you know, when it's time yep. to eat, like, yep. why?
Yeah. So it's just, it's that, it's me and Amy releasing the reins. Well, especially me mm-hmm. releasing the reins and trusting that she can be brave enough and smart enough to take the next step in furthering her skills in gymnastics or whatever she wants to do.
And that, you know the bravery side of things and the self-confidence and self-esteem, like, I mean, there are some of those videos where it's hard to not get kind of choked up, you know, watching them,
yeah,
even
yeah.
for me, because it's just like the sweetest
yeah.
moments of these little girls being so empowered by what you guys do, and it's just an amazing thing to watch, man. It's it's incredible.
Thank
so
you.
I
yeah.
you know, commend you and Amy is just doing such an incredible job with those yeah. those girls. I'm excited about Disneyland for Freya's fifth birthday.
Yep.
I was rubbing it in yep. Marissa that I got invited. So I told her maybe she could come with me. But yeah. And now you coach a lot of kids as well, mm-hmm. from you know, those young kids up to some incredibly talented high school mm-hmm. aged mm-hmm. kids. So, you know, when you're looking at the young kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, what's sort of the first criteria that you look for of like, okay, this kid is ready to do some training, some formal, semi-formal training?
So for me, I go by the air squat. For me, that lets me know if a kid has the body mechanics, the body awareness, and the first 2 minutes, if they could understand, if they could just give me 2 minutes of setting markers. Because first, you know, kids from 6, 7, 8, I have them stand there with their hands behind their back and just watch me. Right. And then if I'm using P or Frey as a demonstration, I still have them stand that way and look at them doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if I'm working with a new kid 1-on-1, they got to give me 2 minutes.
Two minutes of attention.
Yeah. Right. So set the markers. If they could put their feet there. Right. Remember to put their feet there because I'll help them get there. But then when I'm done demonstrating and helping them, I need to see you do it. Mm-hmm. Of what we just went through. And if they could do that, but also show me the right body mechanics of pushing their knees out, keeping their chest up, and I always have them start like this, then it's perfect. Then I'm like, all right, let me see you go here and do the same thing. And then if they do it right, then I introduce the barbell for a front squat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, that's, you know, most kids, if they knees start going in and then curling, you know, I won't even introduce a barbell. We'll yeah. keep on working on that, and I'll regress it and go to the rig on a pole, have them grab the mm-hmm. pole, and, you know, I still make the marks, put your feet on the marks, knees out, keep your chest up, and go into a squat. Have them do that a couple of times, and then we'll step back. Act like you're holding the pole and do the squat. Remember, make sure your knees is out. You know, I always use my two fingers to... And I'll let them know, like, hey, I'm going to put my two fingers here to help you push hinge at the hips. Knees out, you know, chest up.
Do you find with Perseus particularly being so, I mean, phenomenal, that there's more kids, like kids from our school and parents who are like, I'm trying to see what this girl's doing. We want to do this. The more yes. people are getting drawn in by it than people who are like, oh, like, I don't want to.
Yeah. No, absolutely, because she'd be at... You know, before COVID, when she was at school on the playground, she's showing kids how to do burpees, air squats, pullovers. I'm like, P, you can't be doing that. You know, then the parents go home and tell them, like, hey, this is what P showed me. But then they also, you know, they follow her,
yeah.
you know, on Instagram and TikTok, and they see the videos and stuff. But most of the kids that I have in my gym are, you know, they're kids from their parents being members of the gym.
Uh-huh.
I think other parents that see what P can do kind of scared them off because her level of athleticism.
They're probably thinking like, oh, you know, my kids aren't ready to do all that.
Or she shouldn't be doing it. Yeah. You know, so, you know, there's still a lot of education that needs to be had with other parents and stuff.
I mean, what grade is she in?
Second
grade. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling you yesterday about how we had all these really high level athletes that came out of my elementary school at junior high. But I'm trying to think, basically, like how, you know, I'm in second grade. My mom's shopping in the Husky Jean section for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was
Lee Duggarese?
Maybe. But I was stocky. Yeah, you know, I was always a stocky kid, 10 pounds at birth. And there was a time when I got hurt my knee in a basketball game, mm-hmm. and like the team mom comes over and looks at it, and she's like all nervous, and she calls my mom over. She's like, "Oh my God!" She's like, "His knee is so swollen," and my mom's like, "Look at the other one. Like that's how they are." So yeah, I didn't have the long angular body of a Townsend. So I'm thinking probably in second grade, like I was still like always a really athletic kid, but you know, P probably would have been mopping me up on like kickball or something. I don't know how would have reacted to that. Like going home, like, "Mom, Dad, there's a girl at school who's faster and better than all of us at everything." Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if as a 2-year-old I would have been like, we gotta start training. We gotta figure out what's going on. Yeah. Or if I would have just been like, I give up. I quit everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I get messages with people like, you know, "Hey, I bring my daughter to the gym a lot and she wants to do stuff. How can I start with them?" And, you know, I just like I said with the air squat, hey, it's just see if they could perform an air squat, you know, and by you introducing an air squat, see if they can give you your attention. Because most kids, you know, they want to look around and, you know, they'll run away and you got to call them back. Mm-hmm. I give kids one chance to run away. If you run away, you're not ready yet.
Yeah.
No, not ready yet. It's no use into forcing, you know, a child that young to do something like this.
When you do, you have like kids class at mm-hmm. your gym. How long is the class?
45 minutes.
45 minutes. Mm-hmm. They can make it through that pretty well?
Yeah.
Because
the reason why they can make it through it, because it becomes a teaching moment. You know, I like to you know, they always ask, "How much is the bar?" And I say, "You know, it's 5 pounds or 15 pounds. And then I was like, "All right, we're going to put on, you know, 5 pounds on each side.
Mix a little math lessons in there.
Math lessons, right. Avery, how much is this? Nobody say anything. All right, well, you got, this is 15-pound bar, 5 pounds, all right, 25 pounds. Yeah.
You're just getting it all done. I feel like in the age of COVID, schools are closing down. You got the James Townsend School for Exceptional Children going on, man. That's great. I don't know if there would have been anything I would have loved more as that aged kid than to be able to go and do the stuff that you guys are doing.
Me too, man.
I have two much older brothers, 12 and 9 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So when I was like 5 years old, my oldest brother, Adam, was playing high school football. And, you know, I had like a bench press and stuff in the garage. And I remember thinking like, man, my brother is so strong. Like him and all his friends, like they're jacked. Right. They showing me, you know, we're watching Bloodsport and Terminator and Commando. Mm-hmm. I'm all in Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rocky Montage, all this stuff.
Yep.
And like just thinking like, I want to be like at Sunday school, my mom said that they asked, who want, like they tell David and Goliath story. Who wants to be David? Who wants to be Goliath? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Goliath. I know he lost, but he was really big. That sounds awesome. You know, so I was just always into that, and there was no outlet for it really at that age besides just playing sports, which was all day, every day.
Yeah.
But the first year that we were going to play, that I was going to play junior All-American football, I was taking the bungee cords like that you'd use to tie stuff down the back of a truck.
Yeah.
Like found as many of them as I could in the garage. And I like tied myself up with them to a tree in the backyard, and I was running against the bungee cords, like bungee resistant.
Yeah.
I was 8 years old, just by myself, like just setting it up. Mm-hmm. So if I could have gone to the James Townsend, you know, school for youth weightlifting, I would have been there every day.
I was the same way, man. The Rocky montages, the Bruce Lee movies. You know, that's why when we were working out in the back, you mentioned my wings. I was like, yo, I got wings now. Because I remember as a kid, when Bruce Lee, when every time he opened up like a cobra, I used to always, I was like, I want wings, just like Bruce Lee. Want wings, you know, Rocky montage, no holds bar with Hulk Hogan, you know, and yeah, yeah, man, that was, yeah, I used to always just, because my uncle was a black belt in kickboxing, so I would always work out with him and stuff, and my two older brothers always wanted to play, so I was always the youngest too, that always wanted to work out and do stuff, karate, boxing, you know, jiu-jitsu, all that, you know.
James, so happy to have you on the team.
Thank you, man.
So happy to see the Townsend family thriving, growing, excited for this son. I'm nervous for him.
Me too.
I'm nervous for him.
Oh, man, right? The pressure is just, not that I'm putting it on him or Amy, but it's just, you know, maybe the siblings to put on what.
I'm worried, you can't lift more than me. I'm worried
that
the girls got James' side, and I mean, Amy is a wonderful woman, but she's not quite the same genetic materials that you brought to the table. So I'm a little nervous for the little man to come, but you know, very excited for the family and everything. Nice lifting today, and cheers, my man.
Cheers.